नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, The Song of the Avanti Brahmana. And today is text 49, and maybe a few more after that. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. Dehaṃ mano mātram imam grihitva mamāham ityanta diyo manuṣya mamāham ityanta diyo manuṣya eṣoham anyoyam iti brahmena eṣoham anyoyam iti brahmena Duranta pade tamasi brahmanti. Duranta pade tamasi brahmanti. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. Mamaham ityanda diyo manushya. Mamaham ityanda diyo manushya. Eshoham anyoyam iti brahmena. Eshoham anyoyam iti brahmena. Duranta pade tamasi brahmanti. Duranta pade tamasi brahmanti. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. Mamaham ityanda diyo manushya. Mamaham ityanda diyo manushya. Eshoham anyoyam iti brahmena. Eshoham anyoyam iti brahmena. Duranta pade tamasi brahmanti. Duranta pade tamasi brahmanti. Deham, the material body, mana matram, coming simply from the mind, imam, this, grihitva, having accepted, mama, mine, aham, I, iti, thus, andha, blinded, diha, their intelligence, manushaha, human beings, asha, this, aham, I am, anyaha, someone else, I am, this is, iti, thus, brahmena, by the illusion, duranta pare, unsurpassable, tamasi, within the darkness, brahmanti, they wander. All the guru called children come in and see the deities before they go to school. You girls see the deities every day before you go to school? Unless you're running late. What a great advantage they have from their very childhood, doing something like coming and seeing the deities before they start their school day. Okay, translation. Persons who identify with this body, which is simply the product of the material mind, are blinded in their intelligence, thinking in terms of I and mind. Because of their illusion of this is I, but that is someone else, they wander in endless darkness. Persons who identify with this body, which is simply the product of the material mind, are blinded in their intelligence, thinking in terms of I and mine. Because of their illusion of this is I, but that is someone else, they wander in endless darkness. Text 50. Janastu hetu sukadukayos chet kim atmanas chatra ibhomyayos tat jivam kvachit sandas sati svadad jivam kvachit sandas sati svadad dabhis tadvedanayam katamaya kupyet. Translation. If you say that these people are the cause of my unhappiness and distress, then where is the place of the soul in such a conception? This happiness and distress pertain not to the soul, but to the interactions of material bodies. If someone bites his tongue with his own teeth, at whom can he become angry in his suffering? Well, that's a good example. Okay, one more time. If you say that these people are the cause of my unhappiness and distress, then where is the place of the soul in such a conception? This happiness and distress pertain not to the soul, but to the interactions of material bodies. If someone bites his tongue with his own teeth, at whom can he become angry in his suffering? Purport. Although bodily pleasure and pain are felt by the soul, one must tolerate such duality, understanding it to be a creation of one's own material mind. If one accidentally bites his own tongue or lip, he cannot become angry and pull out his own teeth. Similarly, all living beings are individual parts and parcels of God, and thus non-different from each other. All of them are meant to serve the Supreme Lord in spiritual equality. If the living beings give up their master service and instead quarrel among themselves, they will be forced to suffer by the laws of nature. If the conditioned souls establish artificial relationships of affection based on the material body and having nothing to do with God, then time itself will destroy such relationships, and they will be subjected to further suffering. But if the individual living entities understand each other to be of the same family, all having connection with the Supreme Lord, their mutual friendship will develop. Thus, one should not exhibit anger that will be harmful to oneself and others. Although the Brahmin was receiving kind offerings of charity from some people, and being harassed and beaten by others, he denied that these people were the ultimate cause of his happiness and distress. For he was fixed on the platform of self-realization beyond the material body and mind. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna pristaya bhutale Srimate tamal Krishna Goswami niti namine. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna pristaya bhutale Srimate bhakti Vedanta Swami niti namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchikalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So there's such a great lesson to be taken from the story of the Avanti Brahmana. And basically, this whole story, all these verses that we're reading these many days, are to really make one pretty simple point. If I think back, on my own life, and think about successes and failures and benefits that I've received, some things like this, my life in as a devotee, if I think back, then to me it looks like a whole mountain of failures and misunderstandings and wrong conceptions and a whole mountain of mistakes. And then one or two or three good decisions at the crucial moment. That's what it looks like. It looks like just an unlimited amount of failures and mistakes. And then amidst all that, one or two good choices. But those one or two or three good choices have made all the difference. They've made all the difference. All the mistakes and failures really haven't added up to that much. I mean, I should say that. I mean, one can become Krishna conscious in a moment's time, but by making the exact right choices. But really, if I look at it from that point of view, all the mistakes and failures have not really added up to all that much, not compared to the benefit from those one or two or three good decisions at the crucial time. So it kind of shows the importance or the incredible value of taking one simple point in Krishna consciousness and making it a strong vow. In Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse, and I'm kind of rusty on my Bhagavad Gita verses, but basically, it talks about Ekeha Kuru Nandana, or it talks about this one-pointed, strong determination and conviction, as opposed to like intelligence, which is like many-branched, or one of our favorite words, spaced out. this Ekeha Kuru Nandana. It's just a very, very strong conviction on one simple point. We're not really capable of understanding so many things at once, but we are capable. If you give me one thing that I can focus on and concentrate on, I can do that. So if we look at the example of the Avanti Brahmana, basically insurmountable odds. Insurmountable odds. You know, Lord Krishna begins the story by saying that even great sages would have great difficulty steadying their mind after becoming insulted by unscrupulous persons. So, like insurmountable odds, here you find a man who, had control over basically everyone around him. He had, great opulence, and really he had prestige. That's a big one, prestige. If someone is in a position where they are oftentimes, or like most times, they're the center of attention, like someone could be the boss at work, or someone could be, the boss anywhere, or someone, where people have to call on them all the time to ask them a question. How do I do this? How do I do that? Where do I find this? It gives one a sense of like false prestige. So if one has had like that, and then it's just tore away from him all of a sudden, it's extremely, extremely difficult, especially that, that false prestige. And then all of a sudden, who are you? What have you got? It's all just been taken away from you, and all of a sudden you're just a normal, regular person. Yeah, it's very difficult to steady the mind and one's emotions after something like that. So, this Avanti Brahman, this is his example. He was in the, worst possible state. Because not only was he in control of everyone, everyone had to answer to him. Nobody could go against his desires or his orders. But not, on top of that, he was a mean-spirited person. He didn't treat others well. As a matter of fact, he treated them horribly. Not only the people that like worked for him or, but even his own blood relations, his own family members, he treated them terribly. He even treated himself terribly. He wasn't even kind to himself. So on top of the fact that he was in control, in charge, basically everybody had to do what he wanted. On top of that, he was also very mean to these people. So when it came time that he lost that, when it was just taken away from him, kind of like you try to hold on to handfuls of sand. As hard as you try to hold on to it, it just keeps slipping through your fingers, So as this was being taken away from him, not only did he have to deal with the fact that, okay, now I'm just a regular person and, everything's against me. Not only that, but everybody wanted to get revenge with this guy because he just treated them so poorly, so terribly. So, just such a difficult circumstances, and, people would come and do things like spit on him. He would try to just get a little food to subsist on, and he would have to humiliate himself to even get that food, and he would try to be cooking it, and the kids would come up and just do terrible things like, throw that food away or, just really, really, kids, they can be very cruel sometimes, because they don't have so much experience of what it feels like when others are cruel to you. So they can be very, cruel, and they have lots of time on their hands for playing. So, you know, all day their play could be just to harass this guy. And, you know, none of the parents are going to say anything that their children are doing that because they hate the man. As far as they're concerned, he deserves everything he gets. So, you know, so difficult. And, but because of this, you know, ekeha kuru nandana, or this fixed vow that, okay, I'm going to hold on to this point no matter what. Because of that, he was able to not even be disturbed by this. Not only not even be disturbed, but it's basically is the source of all his good fortune. I mean, really incredible good fortune, because, you know, you could say that he had good fortune before because he had wealth and he had so much prestige and he had so much, you know, control over others. But as we see, that's just a temporary thing. And, you know, you could lose it at any time. Well, not only you could lose it, but you are going to lose it. If not during your life, at the end of your life, you're going to be left with nothing. Basically, you know, what we spend materially, it's gone forever. I can spend unlimitedly spiritually, but never a thing is gone. I still have the same amount I started with, or it goes on increasing, actually. But materially, whatever I spend is gone. And so at the end of my life, I'm left with nothing at all. So, this fixing on this one little understanding, focusing on this one point, was the source of all his good fortune. And not the type of good fortune which is temporary and limited and, you know, has a beginning and an end, but the kind of good fortune that goes on increasing eternally. You know, it was the source of his spiritual awakening and spiritual advancement. The source of the greatest good fortune. And because he was able to fix on this one point. And the one point, well, it's explained really nicely in this report. I'd actually like to even read it again. Although bodily pleasure and pain are felt by the soul, one must tolerate such duality, understanding it to be a creation of one's own material mind. So, you know, the people that really turned against this Avanti Brahman, they had every right to do so, or at least their material minds told them that. Anybody would have done the same thing in these circumstances. The guy was just a horrible, horrible, terrible person. Anybody would say, well, he deserves everything he gets. Anybody would have said like that, because that's what seems fair. But see, that's the illusion. What seems fair is based on the material bodies. It's based on the conception I and me. It's based on, you know, the material conception that I am this body. You know, what seems fair to us. So, you know, we have to go against what the material mind and what seems really justice and fair, we have to completely go against that and understand a completely different thing. Even though, you know, the soul actually feels this pain and suffering, it has to tolerate. Not because, you know, tolerating will fix the problem right away, but because tolerating it will teach one much later. Like, just as a practice, as a principle, one has to tolerate. Not that that's going to fix all your problems right away. The problems are going to keep coming. It's going to go on seeming like this is unfair. But one has to tolerate just as a spiritual practice. It's called prayas and shreyas. Prayas means one's ultimate benefit. I work now, I receive the benefit later. Shreyas means like, you know, instant sense gratification. And basically, at least in my life, Indians, no. Indians, they're more taught prayas as they grow up. But, you know, in the West where I was born and where I grew up, you're only taught, well, you may be a little prayas, you know, you save your allowance, you know. Prayas is instant sense gratification. Shreyas is, oh, sorry, thank you very much for correcting that. Yeah, okay. But, you know, the way I was taught, prayas, instant sense gratification, that's what you want. That's what you go for. That determines whether you're successful or not. How much instant sense gratification you can get. You know, that's the best person that can arrange for all this instant, continuous sense gratification. But, yeah, that's exactly against this understanding. This understanding is that what I do now is going to, you know, pay off later. That's the way it works. So even though it seems unfair, I tolerate. Even if I don't understand it fully, I still have to do it. Even if I can't really grasp the fact of how this is going to help me later, I can't really understand it, but I still have to do it. Although bodily pleasures and pain are felt by the soul, one must tolerate such duality, understanding it to be a creation of one's own material mind. So it really has nothing to do in reality. It really has no existence in reality. It's just a creation of the material mind. If one accidentally bites his own tongue or lip, he cannot become angry and pull out his own teeth. But that's exactly what people normally do. If something goes wrong with, you know, the thing that they're working with, like, you know, electronics, they're always going haywire for no good reason, right? Or any type of machine or tool, you know, it's just not working. So what do? You take it and smash it. That's what people do. The tool's not working, so therefore destroy it more. That's the, you know, what people will do. And that's the foolishness of, you know, this creation of the material mind where it thinks that, you know, this immediate thing that's happening to me or to my loved ones, you know, that's all that's important. And what is going to happen later, that doesn't matter at all. Similarly, all living beings are individual parts and parcels of God, and thus non-different from each other. All of them are meant to serve the Supreme Lord in spiritual equality. If the living beings give up their master's service and instead quarrel among themselves, they will be forced to suffer by the laws of nature. If the conditioned souls establish artificial relationships of affection based on the material body and have nothing to do with God, then time itself will destroy such relationships, and they will be subjected to further suffering. So, you know, one could say here that the conditioned souls, they establish relationships of love and affection based on material bodies. And certainly, you know, if something happens to the material bodies of my loved ones, I'm going to suffer like anything. I'm going to suffer way worse watching them suffer than I would if I was suffering myself. So, you know, devotees will also go through that. We have many relationships, and certainly they're based on the body to some degree. So we would have to go through the same thing. But here it says, relationships of affection based on the material body and have nothing to do with God. Well, that makes all the difference. If Krishna is in the center, then it's okay, because everything's going to turn out okay, as long as Krishna is in the center. What it means is relationships, you know, that are somewhat based on the material body but have nothing to do with Krishna. That's the problem. But if the individual living entities understand each other to be of the same family, all having connection with the Supreme Lord, their mutual friendship will develop. So this is a big thing in spiritual life. There's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Vitrasura, that's it. Vitrasura was a devotee, Chitraketu, right? Was his name Chitraketu? And because of a slight offense, he was cursed. And he was cursed to accept the body of a demon. And so, you know, he was a devotee inside, but a demon, a big, scary demon on the outside. And so he had to suffer so much because of this. And so towards the end of this curse, or the time when the curse would end, he spoke some beautiful verses. One of them is, what is it? Mamotama shloka janeshu sakyam saṃsāra chakre brahmatasva karmabhi tvanmaya yatmātmaja dhārakeheshva sakta chitasya nanāta bhūyat. And in that verse, he pouring out his heart to the Lord, he says that I have been wandering throughout this material world due to the results of my past fruitive activities. And therefore, I simply seek out the friendship of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to family, home, wife is continuing due to the spell of your illusory energy. But I don't want to be attached to these any longer. Let my body, my mind, and everything I have be attached only to your lotus feet. So, you know, we hear this all the time, friendship with devotees. Because anything but friendship with devotees is illusion. It's illusion. Because it would be based on the understanding that we're not part of the same family, that you're different from me. It would be based on that temporary false understanding that, you know, you're from a different country, you have a completely different culture, so therefore we don't really get along, or, you know, this person has this nature, that person has that nature. Well, you know, I like these because their nature's acceptable. It's similar to mine, or I don't like these. You know, it's based on that false conception, anything but friendship with devotees. And on the other side, friendship with devotees is what will save us. It will give us everything we need to advance in spiritual life. Everything will come from that. You know, that's why Srila Prabhupada went to so much trouble to set up temples. Not really because, you know, we need them to practice the most thing, chanting Hare Krishna, but because we need this association of devotees. That's why he set up these temples and the deity worship. The deity worship is based on the same thing, association of devotees. Uh, Yeah, through the association of devotees, you know, all our advancement in spiritual life can come. So, you know, one side, if we don't have these friendships with devotees, then it, you know, we're working in a misconception, and that's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to pan out. On the other side, friendship with devotees gives us everything. Even though I may have to take birth in this material world again, even though I may have to suffer, even though, you know, my advancement is very, very slow, still, you always will hear devotees pray for the association of devotees, friendships with devotees. Thus, one should not exhibit anger that will be harmful to oneself and others. Although the Brahmin was receiving kind offerings of charity from some people and being harassed and beaten by others, he denied that these people were the ultimate cause of his happiness and distress. So that's the real focus, you know, that's the real issue right here. Because I can see myself as, you know, a servant of the Supreme Lord, that the Supreme Lord is everything to me. He's my father, he's my brother, he's my friend, you know, he's my master. I can see like that, and I can see that all others are also like that. No matter they have so many, you know, apparent differences, they're also like that. But even though I see like that, others around me are not going to see like that. That's part of the material world. Adibhautik, it's always there. Even though you may see like this, others around you are not going to. And especially, you know, like we all have to work jobs. That's always a problem for devotees, big problem. Because they're going to have to really mix it up with people who are completely in illusion. And that's, you know, that can be very difficult. Either you seem like some kind of freak or something to them, and, you know, that's going to hurt you in your job, you know, or somehow you fake it, you know, like. But, you know, that's always difficult to navigate that one, right? So, you know, this Avanti Brahmin, he had this relationship, but still others were just treating him, you know, terribly. So it's really that he had to not only see it for himself, but he had to see the same thing for others. That what they're doing is not, you know, based on this or that. It's based on something completely different. Although the Brahmin was receiving kind offerings of charity from some people and being harassed and beaten by others, he denied that these people were the ultimate cause of his happiness and distress, for he was fixed on the platform of self-realization beyond the material body and mind. So really what enabled him to do all this was not only understanding the point, but also becoming, fixing himself on that point. Come hell or high water, if he just fixed himself on that point and didn't allow himself to be dragged away from it by one influence or another, then he was going to be okay. He was going to be more than okay. He was going to attain success. That's basically what the material world tries to do to us, or the material energy tries to do to us, through all these different little tricks and illusions and, you know, a whole show. She just tries to get us to become distracted from our focus. I remember once there used to be a course that was taught in the VIHE, and it was called Public Speaking and Debate, which, you know, are very useful for devotees in preaching, right? So it, you know, basically taught the same course that like a materialist would take, the same principles. how to debate, how to, you know, but it could be very useful for devotees. And I don't remember very much from it, but I remember one thing in the debate. And basically, in debate, if you're arguing a point with somebody, if you have a strong argument, it's not a weak argument that you could easily find holes in, right? You have a strong argument. It's based on sound knowledge, right? Then as long as you stick to that point, the other person who's trying to argue against you will not be able to become the winner of the debate. You'll become the winner of the debate. Because it's a strong argument, he can't really beat the argument. So he's got to find some tricks to beat you. And the main trick that he'll try to do is he'll try to get you off on these side branches. And before you know it, you're not even talking about the real point anymore. Because, you know, he got you off on this side thing and he got you off on that side thing. And you got, you know, distracted from that main point. And you'll hear this in Prabhupada's preaching over and over again. Somebody will say, what about this? And he'll keep it over and over and over again, bringing the person back to that same point. As long as you don't allow yourself to be distracted from the sound argument, the simple point, you'll be the winner of the debate. You'll come out on top. Everybody will see that you defeated this person in the debate. But, you know, they have a number of tricks that they can use. Like, that's the main one, to somehow get you off on this point, that point, that, you know, and before you know it, you don't even know what you were talking about anymore. Or they can use very strong language. That could do it sometimes. So they could really, you know, dramatically emphasize their points. That can do it. But it's all really trying to distract you from your argument, because your argument's undefeatable. There's no way I can just defeat it outright. I got to do it some other way, right? So that's really what the material energy tries to do. Tries to distract us from that one simple point. You know, the one simple point this Avanti Brahman was able to become successful on. You know, and that is that, yeah, everybody's, some people are treating me nicely. Some people are treating me horribly. And there's, you know, perfectly good reason for it and this and that, you know. But none of that is even important at all. The truth is we're all spirit souls and we're all simply getting good and bad from our past results. And as long as I continue to act in that way, I'm going to continue to get more of the same, bad and good. But if I just stop that whole cycle, then it's going to have an end. I'll only have to suffer a little bit more, like the fan keeps running after you turn it off. And then there will be an end to it. And it'll be good for me, and it'll be good for these people too. So, okay, so we could stop there. Anybody have comments, questions, anything to add? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Kulachandji ki jai, Gopremanande, Hari Hari Gopremanande.